Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 28.5. And we've got a lot of comics to talk about, so let's just get right into them, Matt.
Cool. Amazing Spider-Man number 2, written by Nick Spencer, with art by Ryan Ottley and inks by Cliff Rathburn. Yeah, Spider-Man is great again. that's about as much as I have to say about that. There's some major surprises in this book, and I don't want to spoil too much for people. If you can track it down, you should read it. Scales and Scoundrels number 11. I was really excited because I thought this was going to be an awesome jumping on point for new readers, and it is. Only to find out that only issues 11 and 12 are left. So, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with this series. I really hope they bring it back in some sort of graphic novel format because I have looked forward to it every time it's in my stack. But it's going to end at issue number 12. Issue number 20 of Teen Titans. This Meet the Newest Titans. This is the new creative team change. And let me get the writer's name here. It's written by Adam Glass with art by Bernard Chang. This is Damien's super team of children of not so great people. Like that's
they
kind
of seemed like a young Suicide Squad almost.
There's a bit of that vibe to it.
Yeah.
They're definitely this is pushing the envelope of, you know what, the Titans are going to do the things that the Justice League can't or won't do. And they're going to do that because they're spearheaded by Damien. And Damien's like, enough of this. I was raised a child of two worlds, and we're going to...
And it includes Lobo's daughter.
The
Red Arrow.
Red Arrow. This is...
Typically don't have a very good track record of...
No, and I think it was revealed recently that Wallace West, his dad is actually a supervillain as well. And there may be the potential that Damien is the son of Deathstroke and not the son of... Bruce, so
well,
there's...
Can he have two dads?
It's
2018, come on.
2018. Right. Where's Talia fit in all this?
She had a good time.
Wow.
And welcome.
That was super upbeat. yeah, but Teen Titans, I loved this. I think I actually am going to keep going with this series. I was really impressed by this first issue. It was a lot of fun. It's dark, but it was a lot of fun. And then we have Leviathan number 1. This is by, I keep forgetting the writer's name. John Layman with art by Nick Patara. I've said this before, it is so ugly, it's beautiful. This is a kaiju monster story, but it's happenstance. Like, the kaiju is accidentally summoned by people, like, messing around with basically, like, Ouija stuff at a party because the party's boring and... this is
nobody learned about Ouija boards yet.
Right?
Like, come on.
It's like the Metalocalypse when they summoned the giant troll because they put like Icelandic like runes into their songs.
Right, exactly. Like, it's that kind of scenario, and there's a biblical element. There's some political stuff to this, and it's really centers on one bad day. But the art is so like incredible and detailed. It's nuts. It's like a super detailed cartoon. It was a really great first issue. But those are my quick hits for now.
Nice.
Patrick?
Alright, well, I guess I'll take it over then. So we got, I'm going to talk about Steven Universe Harmony, 1 of 5, written by S.M.V. Dury and illustration by Molly Rose. This is kind of, I'm a huge Steven Universe fan, and I was kind of disappointed with the main Steven Universe title, just because it has almost nothing to do typically with the greater Steven universe, per se, the universe. I don't know how to say that. But this is actually great. It definitely, like, focuses on the very minute details, which is why Steven Universe is awesome, and then focuses also simultaneously on huge intergalactic thousand-year-old wars.
Yes.
And also Sadie singing in her band. So, good stuff. Excited to see where it goes. And then next I have The Seeds, written by David Aja and art by Nocenti.
Actually, it's written by both of them, and the art is by David Aja.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was just reading the title. Yep. Written by both of them, and yep, art by David Aja. Great art. Interesting aesthetic. I have no clue in a bad way what's going on here. Like, I know there's like a good way to have no clue in a bad way, but there's just like, It's just like there's so much stuff going on, and I don't really care too much about most of like the specific plot lines they bring up. I don't know. I might see where this is going.
It's a very adult book too.
Right? Yeah, like it's... I mean the whole thing is just a regular comic, and it's broken into 6 chapters. So like that's very disjointed.
Yeah,
like how you know that's what. 3 or 4 pages a chapter.
Yeah.
Like, basically. So, you know, if it lands on a story, it'll be good. And then, finally, for this round of quick hits, this is going to be a slow hit. This is issue number 5 of 5, Lucy Dreaming, written by Max Bemis and illustrated by Michael Dylons? Excuse me if I got your last name wrong. This is awesome. This whole series is so intense and great and amazing. And just a comment on the idea of creativity and storytelling in general. And in this issue, it's only a 5-issue series. So when this comes out in trade, I recommend everybody go and buy it. It's quick. It's fun. It wraps itself up nicely. In this issue, we get the god of the story realm telling us that the universe is made up of stories, and that's the, like, that's basically, like, an essential physics force. There's, like, gravity.
That's awesome.
And stories. And Lucy's there, like, there's a lot of plot holes in what you're saying, but I'll give it. Like, she literally says that at one point, and he's like, I'll cover it up in the next time around. Then she uses the story power to summon infinite versions of herself from infinite universes to defeat her, like, weird, like, ex-boyfriend/rival.
That's awesome.
And it's amazing in literally every aspect possible. So, if you're not reading this, I don't know why.
But it's going to be a great trade.
It's going to be a great trade. It's going to be an amazing trade. Yeah, you get all the... all her versions of her dream selves from previous issues, they come in, and then she realizes, like, oh, you know, it's infinite. Like, the universe is, if it runs off of stories, then whatever you can imagine is that way. So, yeah, great. Just cool. Great. Awesome. Kat, you want to take it from here?
I guess it's my turn. So the first one I kind of want to touch on is Justice League, except hilariously enough, it's like marked out and said Legion of Doom. So the writer for it, was it James? I can never remember how to pronounce his name.
Tinian.
I love most of his stories. His run in Detective Comics was amazing. And another thing that I'll talk about later, I love that story. But this, I was just kind of, it wasn't really a page turner for me. Like, it was... it's disappointing to be at best. I usually, like, it sounds kind of messed up, I usually expect more from him, but this was not really I was reading this and I'm like, I'm just reading this to finish it at this point, because I've made it 3 pages in and now I just have to finish it.
I hate that feeling. I really do. Like, oh, I hate yeah. that feeling in comics.
Yeah, you get there instantly and you're like, this is not going to be fun,
yeah.
but I
oh, yeah, and
spent
I was
$4
reading,
on it. I'm going right? to the end.
And that's basically...
hate reading.
Yeah, it's basically what that was for that one. It was kind of, is honestly upsetting. I'm not going to give it much more. Like, Justice League, I'm not going to give it much more if it doesn't figure out.
Yeah, there's an element of, and I'm in agreement with this, that something is off about reading it in the month, well, the bi-weekly format. That's just like, it's too much, and it's feeling like too much, and it feels like too much on my wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another one, it's technically old, but it's new, because I found it, and so that's how it's working. is Venom number 1, I got a 3rd reprinting of it. It's written by Donnie Cates and artist Ryan Stegman. Number one, I actually really like the art, even though it's like really confusing and colorful and bright. I'm like, wait, did I just take drugs? but honestly, I found it to be pretty good. It was, I'm not the most huge fan of Venom, but I'm usually a sucker for a story delving into more mythology of things. So like, this is going to cover... this run is going to cover the symbiote and where it actually came from, because nobody, honestly, they're like, space! So but this is actually going to sound like it's going to dive more into what the symbiote actually is. So it's caught my attention for the time being. So I don't know if it'll continue to catch my attention, but right now it is.
Yeah, whenever they do that, they're like, I'm an alien from space. My first thought is like, what's your home life like? You know? What, like, I want to see just like a day in the life of a symbiote on planet Symbiote. You know?
Untapped potential is the Predators, like, who's the one that, like, opens the gateway for the spaceships, you know, that actually, like, leaves the
and, hog. Like I said, I'm always a sucker.
Oh, for the Predator movies? That guy, just, like, another day on the job.
Yeah, I'm always a sucker for, like, delving into the mythology of things and opening up the story for the, for whatever it is.
Yeah, that guy's like, 2 more weeks till I get my vacation.
Right, exactly. Alright, well, I'm gonna go a little bit long form on this. We're gonna continue the Donny Cates train. Who right now I think he's moving up the ranks as the best writer in comics. Cosmic Ghost Rider number 2. I'm gonna go out right and say that this is my favorite comic of 2018, individual issue of 2018. This has everything about why I like comics, and that is that I don't want something to be taken too seriously. I want the stakes to be there, but comedy in the stakes. Let me talk about the art too, because the art is it's written by Donny Cates, art by Dylan Burnett, and colors I have to say is Antonio Fabella, because the colors in this book are insane and beautiful, and this is cosmic gets. And I said about the first issue, it was the most Donny Cates thing that Cates ever Cates'd. This may step it one step further. The opening for this comic book is Frank Castle, Cosmic Ghost Rider, chained to baby Thanos with the chains of Sidorak in a bar enjoying drinks.
You said baby Thanos, and all I can think about is baby Darkseid.
Oh, this is hilarious, because he's trying to stop Thanos' atrocities by... He thought he was going to kill him as a small child, but instead he's trying to gallivanting through time, trying to figure out what the hell to do with baby Thanos. And baby Thanos attempts to murder a security guard with a broken beer bottle.
That's great.
Yeah.
Start them young.
There's so much stuff. And, like, he keeps saying, Punisher or Ghost Rider keeps ordering drinks and just saying, put it on my tab. And he keeps, like, whispering to baby Thanos, it's cool, they're all going to be dead soon. And there's this moment where the security guard just simply says, why do you keep saying we're all going to die? And Cosmic Ghost Rider, thumb pointing outside, going, oh, that. Yeah, I kept telling you, man. I'm here to meet a friend.
And it's Galactus.
And it's Galactus. So,
that's awkward.
Because in this storyline...
that's awkward.
That's awkward. This is insane. There's a moment where Watu arrives, the Watcher arrives to talk to Cosmic Ghost Rider and tell it, you know, because they don't interfere. And he simply says, I'm here to witness the worst decision made in the history of humanity. And then Cosmic Ghost Rider says something, and he goes, well, there it is.
Oh, my God. Thanos talk like a full-grown man. He's got a beard.
No, he's got his chin scars. His like, that's part of his face. He's got the chin, the raisin chin.
Well, no. He's like,
oh, he's got a beard.
Tell me more about murder.
Yes, baby Thanos is an intellectual.
Yeah. Tell me more about murder. Wait, what?
Yeah, this book is hilarious. I had more jump out of my seat moments going, are you freaking kidding me, than I ever had. There's star sharks in this book.
Yeah, I know. I just
Star sharks.
More star sharks.
I got the cover.
There is the cover is one giant star shark chasing Cosmic Ghost Rider. I can't say enough about this book. This is exactly why I want to read comics. I love the action, the art, the comedy, the cosmicness. This is not a story that will work just about anywhere. Maybe as a crazy anime, but that's about it. So yeah, that's enough.
Honestly, in all reality, anything works as an anime anymore, so.
Except for My Hero Academia. Come at me, bro.
Oh, ooh. Let's not get that started here. Okay.
Hey, Patrick.
So to take this on, next, I also have a long form to talk about. This is Shade the Changing Woman, number 6, written by Cecil Castellucci and illustrated by Marley Zarcone. this is the final issue of this series. I was so sad when I picked up this issue and it just said Finn at the end, because I was not expecting that at all. This is easily my favorite comic series. We're talking about favorite comic series, or favorite comics of 2018. This series is easily one of my favorites. And since it's ending, you got Shade the Changing Girl, Shade the Changing Woman, 3 total volumes. Quick read. Go out there. Oh my gosh. This was an amazing end. An amazing end to an amazing series. She finally meets her Loma Shade, finally meets her Idol Rock Shade, and finds out that he's just a terrible, terrible person. He's keeping dead bodies in their hearts and closets. He's full of insects and tries to kill her. Basically, he's literally full of insects and tries to kill her and steal his coat. And she ends up killing him and gaining all the powers of madness.
What?
So she's kind of, which is like this pocket dimension between everything, basically.
I can see that.
And so she uses it to save all of the Earth, but in the process destroys her body. Her friend River gets shot. And then, so at the very end, we get this reveal of River wearing Shade's coat. And her other friend, and she says, "It's me, it's Shade." And then that's just how it's end. And she says, "And I'll change 100 times to keep Earth safe. This is never end. Or this is the never end. This is the change, Finn."
Wow.
That's how the comic ends. Fuck yes. Fuck yes in every single way.
That's awesome.
It's, oh my god, so good. Just so, so good. I could get into all the themes, too, but it's going to be awesome. Oh, and Nat showed me a very interesting picture, actually, that all the 6 covers of Shade the Changing Woman, they connect by the circles. Her signature, like, bullseyes connect all 6 covers.
To one giant super cover.
So there's overlap. Okay. All the pictures are different, and they don't make one big picture, but all the circles make one tapestry. Which is a really interesting thing, that the background of this is the part that connects, not the foreground. Usually, you know, it's the thing that makes one big overarching picture, but this is just the fabric that holds it all together. I'm talking about the cover. See, even the cover, the background of the cover art is worth talking about this comic book. All right, someone take me away. See, you were talking about jump out of your seat moments. This has like fall into your seat moments where you're like reading it and you just kind of like collapse a little bit, like to get closer to it. Like, what did I just see? What is this?
That's awesome.
So yeah, Shade the Changing Woman, Shade the Changing Girl. Next thing you're doing, Cecil, I'm on it. I don't care. After this, boom. Cool.
All right, Kat, you want to lead us into the We Share Everything set of reviews?
Seriously. I figure I'll just start with Action Comics 1001. So, writer Brian Michael Bendis, because he took over Superman, and then you have artist Patrick Gleason. Out of the two between Superman and Action Comics, I'm leaning more towards Superman than I am this. And like, I was looking through my notes, and, like, initially I was, like, relatively, excited about it. But after a while, like, I can't remember most of the story that's going on with this. So that honestly tells me which one I definitely like more. Because I'm still thinking about Superman number one.
Yeah, I prefer the art in Action Comics and the story in Superman.
See, and I like the Superman art in the in Superman a lot more.
Oh, really?
The Superman art.
Yeah, I'm a bigger Pat Gleason fan.
No, it's really cool. I enjoy his too. It's just I think I lean towards the other one.
I always give shout-outs to Patrick. So.
Right?
He's like Patrick all the way.
I think this is a weird they're dividing the two stories. Basically, Action Comics is your ground level reporter Superman, mm-hmm. like he's basically doing detective work essentially.
Yep.
And then Superman is sort of the cosmic level, like world threats, like the bigger picture stories. And that was more interesting for whatever reason. Like this,
Maybe it's just because this one is slow running, honestly. I feel like this one is a lot slower than other Superman was, where, you know, all of a sudden at the very end, oh, but the Phantom Zone!
Right.
And this one, I got the end of this, I'm like, okay, so you have a new person who's in your way.
It's Lois.
Huh?
The person at the end is Lois.
What are you talking about?
At the end of this book, the one that's Lois is back, and she's not telling Clark that she's back.
No. I was talking about the villain.
I don't know what the villain is. Yeah. But I don't understand, like, what this means. Like, why is Lois back? And, like, should John be back, too?
I didn't even realize that was Lois. I thought it was somebody else. And it was probably because I wasn't paying as close attention as I should have.
I don't know. This is, it's a good book. I really enjoyed this, but I don't think I'll keep reading Action. I want the more, like, the bigger story.
Which is surprising, because you would think I would like this more. In all reality, it wasn't as... Like I said, I can't even really remember anything about it, because it's like, when I was reading it, it was like, I said something about it being flipped on its head, and I don't even remember how it was flipped on its head, so I just don't understand. Oh, my guess is probably the fact that kid lied or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Else
was trying to get in the way.
Sort of like manipulations upon manipulations.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where I thought it would be more interesting than it was, so either I'm gonna keep giving it a chance. It's probably got about two more issues before I'm like, all right, if this doesn't go
this is Bendis's attempt to do like Court of Owls for Superman, so he like wants to have the city itself be the problem and like the underground threat, so it makes sense. It just it was a bit more boring than Superman was.
Oh yeah, I
think it's hard not to compare the two.
Oh totally, I will say this, from reading that, Man of Steel did a pretty good job of setting up both stories.
Yes, they did.
Very well. That is a definite one, I will say.
All right, Kat, what's next?
Let's talk about Go-Go Power Rangers. I'm a lot more excited about that.
Go-Go Power Rangers.
So Go-Go Power Rangers number 12. Let me just say, this is my favorite Pink Ranger to ever exist and ever.
Yes.
And, yeah, it was... If you're not reading this, then I'm upset at you. if you're reading Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and you're not reading this, or vice versa, you're already missing out on a ton of stuff.
Yeah, this was amazing. Shout out Dan Mora, once again, like, his art on Go-Go
is insane. Every day.
He's doing such a great job with this. The Ranger Slayer, Kim, is awesome. I just... Mm-hmm. There was so much to love about this and such, like, fanboy moments in this book.
I mean, the coolest thing is the Megazord, Gravezord
power. Yes!
That was the cool, yes.
It went back to the first time they did the Dragon Megazord when I was, you know, watching it as a youngster.
Yeah, right.
And then...
Well, and the other thing is, too, is it looks like they're starting to set up, I don't know if you caught it, but it looks like they're going to start setting up for Tommy to show up finally.
Yeah, there's some major... The end of this gets kind of dark and then also has some level of optimism, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing that I caught is, like Reed at the end, if I finally want to destroy the Power Rangers, I'm going to have to do something I swore I would never do, and my assumption means that Tommy's going to show up. And he does show up in this, because Kim, the Ranger Slayer Kim... after she's no longer mind controlled, hits him with some sort of arrow.
Yeah, it's like a magic bullet.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is either.
I think it's going to be something like Scott Pilgrim.
I will say this.
Versus Ranger, the world where he pulls out the extra life that he gets.
The Rangers Lord, the Ranger Slayer Kim is a bastard for telling, Matt. And I was like, I understand in your past. She's like, I'm sorry I never told you. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. was there one, like, well, you guys can talk about Captain America, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
My thing on that is super short, which is just, I'm good. I don't need, I'm so saturated with so much stuff that I'm like, I don't really want to read a deeper message in a comic. I just want to see someone punch someone in the face and walk away and call it a night.
And I'm good, too. I'm so good. Every time this comic comes out, I'm like, it's so excited. Kat is right, though. If you want... This is not Captain America like we've ever seen before. This is... Sure, it's a fun read on the surface, like he's fighting cyborg nukes and like there's explosions, he has drama with Sharon, you know, so it's a fun read on the surface.
You can't
read this unless you block out all the words and just look at the pictures.
Even then,
this is going to hit you with a hard, deep, questioning like, just question, really, about...
It's literally impossible to read this and not question and not look below the surface, and I'm really not in the mood for a higher meaning right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already... This is, like, two issues in, and I'm already thinking about, like, all the different things, like, you know, obviously Ta-Nehisi Coates writes a lot about African-American issues, especially for the Atlantic and his books and stuff. And so taking on Captain America, I thought it was going to be a very obvious thing. But even this just has Captain America questioning what this country is. And if he's the symbol of it, what is he a symbol of? If this is the kind of America that is created, then what is he creating it? Is it creating him? Just this crazy, challenging dynamic that is going on in his head. And it's just so interesting because he's, you know, we all know he's a good person, but everybody in the Marvel Universe right now doesn't think so. Right.
Well, yeah, because you had the whole, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Secret Empire. Yeah.
So what do you do when you're trying to do your best, but your best is still a monster?
Somebody's taken your face and ruined your reputation, basically. And it's one of those things, like I said, I'm really just punch people in the face, please. If you want to punch people in the face, don't read it.
He punches people in the face.
Okay, punch people in the face, and that's all it is.
I mean, like, the first third of it is him just fighting cyborg nukes.
Even then, there's still more to say.
With just an inner dialogue of why he's doing
inner
this.
Inner dialogue and also the visual stuff that you see. So it's just... No, yeah, if you want more than your normal comic book read, go for it. I'm not really in the mood for my more than normal comic book read right now.
That's awesome. I always am, so.
Of course you are.
All right. Patrick, you guys talk about Mr. Mother Panic?
Yeah, I think I want to just quickly bring up Mother Panic, just because Kat read it as well. So this is number 5, or Mother Panic AD. Number 5, written by Jody Hauser and art by Ibrahim Mustafa.
Mm-hmm.
And this, just character designs alone, like, I'm usually not one for character designs. I feel like Jody Hauser is just like, I want to put it in an alternate dimension just so I can redesign everybody's look.
Oh my god.
And it's awesome. We finally get to see Harley Quinn in it with a brand, like a scar and... like domino mask, like, mm-hmm. We find her earlier and Gala is cutting up her face in the shape of a domino mask.
Yep.
And so in this one, and we finally see her, she's like a soldier. She has like her OG Harley outfit, the red and black.
Yep.
But it's like it's like body armor, basically.
And they even say they address the fact that Harley still has that weird it's not an attraction, but that weird, like, this ex is... the best way I could put it, this ex is terrible for me, but we had those good moments. Should I just throw it out the window like that when she sees Joker dead?
Yeah, because...
And you have Catwoman who comes up. She's like, he didn't deserve this. And she's like, no, he deserved worse than this.
Oh, yeah, he didn't... Yeah, Catwoman's... Yeah, he said he deserved better.
Yeah, he deserved better.
Oh, no. Harley said he deserved better, yep. And Catwoman responds, no, he didn't.
Yeah, and that's basically...
And that what happens glitch. Is here is... Jason Todd, a.k.a. Lord Robin, has taken the Joker and the Scarecrow and literally crucified them on a wall, and Harley comes in and finds Joker flying around him.
That's
pretty
gross.
Yeah.
It's Jesus.
Lord Robin to Jason Todd, the Red Hood.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Catwoman's design, too, in this is great. Like, they're standing next to each other
One thing I will say...
And it reminds me, like... Harley looks like a soldier, and Catwoman like looks like a pilot. Like, they look like they're in the military, like, not messing. This isn't like cutesy fun sexy costumes.
Oh my god, like, no!
They are going to fuck shit up, and they are prepared to get
this entire
fucked
this,
up themselves.
This is like the below surface thing that I can kind of read because it pertains to nothing in the world. But this is like it's gruesome. I will say that.
Yeah. I mean, it pertains to the gruesomeness in the world. Yeah. I still love her, like, she goes out and parties in one part, and I love how she's, like, still scarred up, like, as hell in her in her evening dress. That is just a part of her character.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cool designs. Great designs. Like I said, not usually.
It's really good.
That's usually me.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm gonna be. Next thing you know, you're gonna be criticizing the story element.
I did. It was called Life of Captain Marvel.
Oh!
Bring it back in reverse. Nice.
Hey, throwing down that shade, the changing woman.
Right? Yo, yo, God, we gotta change out of this conversation.
All right, so I'm gonna move over to Batman number 52 by Tom King with art by Lee Weeks. Great read in a boring comic book. I don't.
How does that even work?
I mean, it's great dialogue. It's an interesting story. It's a great perspective, and I just feel like move on to the next thing because I don't really care. This feels like it should be out of continuity. It doesn't feel like it should be issue 50. No, issue 50 was amazing.
Issue 50 was phenomenal. Basically, from this comic, it's basically a breakdown of the fact that. In all reality, I think everybody realized that Bruce Wayne is the mask, Batman is the real. And if you don't know that, then
here
you go, here's your info now. But with this, it's just him basically saying, I made a mistake, and Batman can't correct that mistake, so Bruce Wayne is forced to do so.
But I don't think it needs to be three issues. Like, I get it, like, he's made a mistake, and they're doing a detective story of...
I've always loved stories of the breakdown of the psychosis of Batman.
But it's not furthering... bad. Like, it's not furthering the character within the greater DC universe, which is what the in-continuity books are supposed to do. Yeah. This should have been a 64-page graphic novel. Cold Days. Boom. We tell the story of what happens when Bruce second-guesses a choice that he's made and he has to be on the jury to convict a criminal.
Mm.
Like, that sounds like a graphic novel to me, not... the in-continuity story that's doing nothing for advancing the character.
The only thing that I took from this is you're seeing the fact that it's just a change from what happened with him at Catwoman. And that was basically what I'm sitting here waiting for is the final...
Just he's more aggressive.
Is the final snap that... Because I'm assuming that's what's going to happen in the third issue. Because it has pictures of him just, like, literally just, holy shit, beating the shit out of him. So I'm curious to see... if that's the final snap, or there's something else that made him be like, I've gone too far. Right. So that's basically what I'm waiting for. I always enjoy waiting for that gone too far moment.
I don't know. It's a weird thing for me. Like, I'm going to keep reading Batman out of more, just, I have to. And I love Tom King's writing, and I like the dialogue in the book. It feels stagnating, and that to me is a bad sign.
Yeah, I can see
all right. That.
Are we to... Oh, no, Patrick, you got one more that we haven't read.
Yeah, I don't really need to talk about it, though, that much. Miss Marvel and Squirrel Girl, Marvel Rising, awesome, amazing. It's two issues in one, so it's a good bang for your buck. And also, Squirrel Girl issues are like two issues in one, so this
is like
three issues in one.
If this is a good comic to be like, here, kids, read. That's like, I picked it up last night. I picked it up to read it, and I opened it, and I was like, too much dialogue. I don't really want to read this much right now.
Ryan North does not skimp on the dialogue at all. He has like little full panels that are just excuses for him to show a phone that has like dialogue exchanges.
I like the artist though. It looks like there's three different ones, right, in this book, or just two different ones?
Actually, yeah, we got two. Ramon Bax did the first one, and then Irene Strykalski.
Did the second one?
Yep, Guri Hiro on the cover.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the best parts is they all get put into an MMO, like, world. And the first thing Kamala and Doreen do is, like, just kill cyborg rats to level up.
Oh, that's...
They get, like, swords and armor. There's, like, a giant pile of swords and America Chavez and Inferno in the back. Like, this is so pointless. Like, you're literally not doing anything. They're trying to figure out how to, like, get out of the world. So they're like, just play it like an MMORPG.
And, there you go.
Yeah, they try to piss off a potential admin that there isn't any. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's hilarious and awesome. But,
nice.
Kat, this will be great for you. There's nothing at all even close to, like, seriousness. Yeah.
All right. So I think everything else we've all... No, I guess, you, Patrick, you didn't read Infinity Wars, did you?
I did not read Infinity Wars, no.
I think we have one that it's short, which is Mr. and Mrs. X.
I read that one.
And I was just going to say real quick for me, like, it was Kelly Thompson and then Oscar... Oh, my goodness, there's a Z in there.
Basil Dewey? Basil Dewey?
Sure, I don't know.
Even Nat's face on this one. Yeah. Nat usually has all the names down on point.
For me, it was a resounding meh, and I think, looking at it, I love Rogue. Rogue is my favorite X-Man.
And Gambit's my favorite.
See, and I don't like Gambit. And that's why I think it's probably what it was, is because I don't give two craps about Gambit. I'm like, cool, you throw exploding, I don't care. And your eyes are weird.
I laughed out loud at Mr. and Mrs. X.
See, and I
thought
didn't.
It was so funny.
Like, and I didn't at all.
That's weird. Yeah, I don't know that I keep reading the book, but I thought it was just incredibly funny. Like, their dialogue between each other was great. I'm of the complete opposite perspective.
Yeah.
This was the positive surprise for me that I didn't expect to enjoy, and I totally
did. I'm going to talk about the one that I wasn't expecting to hit as hard as it did with me. So, like Bryce said, for me, it's probably because I don't like Gambit. Like, he's my Wolverine.
All right, we're going to do a little two hit here too.
Yeah.
Infinity Wars Prime and Infinity Wars number one. This is big spoiler territory, so you may have heard by now. But Infinity Wars, this series so far has been, let's shock you, let's try to shock you. And so far, we've decapitated Thanos.
That was hardcore, man.
We've revealed that the main villain of the story is Gamora.
Which, for me, like I said before, I kind of caught an inkling of that.
While
in Prime, and then when I read the beginning of Infinity Wars is when I immediately caught on to it.
And then,
her armor is dope, though.
Her armor is dope. And then they killed Star-Lord.
Yeah!
So we're like, they're just wrecking the bodies at this point in time. It seems like Gamora has some sort of agenda about getting her pieces of her life back from the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
So this is written by...
And that's the other thing, too, with me, is I know so little about the Infinity Stones, I didn't realize that she was separated like that.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's good storytelling, is that you don't need to know.
Yeah.
I think that... I love these books. I'm going to actually read this Cosmic Event. I think this is... It's really interesting, the choices that they're making. The Infinity Stones from different dimensions are making appearances in here. It's written by Jerry Duggan with art by Mike Iadanno.
Oh, shit, I just realized that's Thanos' hand.
Stuck on the cover.
On the cover.
There was a cool...
That Power Sword, by the way, is dope as shit.
Yeah. So there's a really cool story element in this book, too, about... If you didn't read Infinity Wars Prime, you're as clueless as the Infinity Watch is that the fact that Thanos is dead, so they're expecting Thanos to come.
Yep.
But
and
if you read Infinity Wars Prime, you have this other perspective of going, oh, you guys are preparing for Thanos. You have no idea what's coming. And
shows up, drops his head, like dropping a mic.
Yeah. So really, I like this. I thought this was really, really fun and interesting.
It was definitely brutal. I will say that.
What do we want next? Because we're approaching time now. So much stuff.
I definitely just want to say this: Justice League Dark was the most shocking one for me. I didn't think I would like this at all, and now I have to I subscribe to all of it because I fucking loved it. This is literally like right up my alley of stuff that I like.
Written by James Tynion IV with art by
And I keep
Alvaro Martinez Bueno.
Something like I don't remember. I think there's two. I don't remember, but it's in the front of me a sec. But this is right up my alley of stuff that I like. I was thoroughly shocked that I liked it as much as I did. James, that's his name, Martinez Bueno.
I thought it was a good book. I definitely don't feel like I need to read more of it.
See, and for me, like the second those things started moving, I was like, I'm game. This is gonna be creepy as shit. I love it.
Nice.
Which, it's like I said, is right up my alley of weird, occult, creepy shit, which I love so much, actually.
Patrick, you want to pop us into X-23 number two?
Yep.
Yeah, sure. I don't have too much to say about this, honestly, except that it's awesome, and it's continuing to be awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was as good as the first one, I will say that.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was a better story, well, like, continuation of the story. And this page, with the
Google Maps.
Yeah, the Google Maps GPS page just was so cool.
If you want to talk about pages, let's talk about
the fight.
Yeah, the mental whatever that is.
The art of Juan Cabal, there's a really interesting minimalism to the way, like, there's this sparseness to all of the panels that really is, it's just really interesting. I've really been digging X-23.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I liked it too. I'll read the next one. The very beginning of the comic, you find out that one of the
quintuplets.
The cuckoos.
The cuckoos is dead, and from the last issue, my assumption is the one whose fault that was is one of the sister, the other dead, alive.
There's the instance that the less of them there are, the more powerful each one becomes, so...
Yeah, so now I'm interested if this is going to be... I'm going to kill all my sisters so I can be the strongest awkward moment.
There can be only one.
And by the way, Gabby has nunchuck practice, so...
Gabby is amazing. And the fact that so much of the issue focused on the fact that they need to have a birthday was amazing to me.
I love her, like, text emojis, too. She just texts Laura a birthday cake, three knives, and then a devil face.
It's like, what does that mean?
That's Gabby's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It was a birthday cake, knives, and demons.
Yeah, yep. In essence, actually. Yeah, that makes sense.
Totally.
And also not giving a fuck. That's really what she wants.
Right.
Another quick one. We want to do Adventures of the Super Sons number one?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, honestly, what I got from this is literally like, to me, it's basically Bruce Wayne, if Bruce Wayne was uninhibited because he's a child. And Bruce Wayne struck down, and how old is Damian? 11?
Yeah. Where's Bruce in the story?
He doesn't make a appear neither.
No, this is summer vacation, summer of the super.
Yeah, they mentioned.
But why did you say Bruce Wayne as a kid?
Basically, that's what Damien is. This is how I view Damien.
Oh.
It's basically a shrunk down version of Bruce if he didn't have the maturity of an adult.
Okay.
Oh,
And then John is the same thing for Superman. I could see Superman being exactly like this if he was shrunk down and uninhibited because he's not an adult.
So I thought
my parents don't let me drink soda.
I thought this was a fun issue. I don't have any experience with Super Sons.
I don't either.
So I it was just fun. It was a good read, and then yeah, the villains in the end, I really enjoyed that. That put a smile on my face. But I have like I said, I don't know if they appeared before and if they're lame now or what.
I think for me, like, I kind of would have, once again, I'm falling into this weird trope of, does this actually fit into continuity? Like, it doesn't seem to make sense of being, like, a side story within the normal continuity, especially with what's happening with John being taken. Like, I don't know why, like,
specifically Adventures of the Super Sons takes place between Super Sons 16 and Superman Special number 1.
Okay, so it's like all of these things happen, a year of storytelling between these two stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me then, why?
Why not just do an out-of-continuity story again? Like, I don't get this... We're going to tell stories within continuity that might as well be out of continuity.
It might come up in the end. This is a 12-issue miniseries, and this is only issue 1, so maybe some crazy stuff will happen.
Seriously, I hit this point, and I feel like the more I read this...
They switch superpowers or something.
The more I read this, the more I just hate Damian, because, like, the exit of summer vacation, and he was, like, talking to his teacher about... receiving extra credit, and then it was like this long thing, and I'm like, I hate you even more now.
I'm not saying I didn't like the story either. It's just that I feel like we're in a, you know, continuity driven storytelling, and the stuff that's in miniseries might as well just be out of it. I don't know, it just feels weird when you're focusing so much, especially in the Superman books, on like regrounding and reestablishing Superman, and then you have his kid in this romp that's awesome to read and super fun, and I love Carlo Barberi's art, you know, definitely a student of Ramos, but like, why? It's fine. Whatever. I'm being the grumpy old man today. Yeah. I don't get it.
Get this out of continuity off my lawn.
No. I want the out of continuity stuff. I don't want to be labeled within the continuity. Yeah. Give me more continuity off Doomsday my Clock. You know?
I will say.
Give me more Batman White Knight.
Mr. Miracle, all I really have to say about this is it's 10 issues in, and I'm like, you know what's going on, but you don't understand what's going on all at the same time. And
okay. Is this in continuity?
Mr. Miracle number 10, written by Tom King with art by Mitch Gerard. With the greatest cover ever by Nick Darrington, the black and white dark side. Is this in continuity? That's a damn good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do we even know what's happening in Mr. Miracle?
No, we're 10 issues in, and I'm still like, okay, there's a war going on, but at the very beginning of it, he commits suicide, or tries to. Did he actually do? What is happening?
I don't know if this is in continuity, because, Scott wears a bunch of superhero shirts and supervillain shirts throughout the story. And,
I know.
Like some
it
of
was
it is,
the Thundercats one in this issue.
Does he wear? No, he doesn't wear a Thundercats. I think he's wearing a Blackbird shirt.
Blackbird.
Maybe they. You know what? They actually might own Thundercats now. For
I thought they did own Thundercats. So, yeah, he has a Flash T-shirt in that one.
It's a Reverse Flash.
Yep.
He has
Shazam.
God, he loves his print tees. Me and Scott Free would be great friends. Yeah. Is that not?
Oh, yeah, it's the Blackbird logo.
Oh, okay. Doesn't it look like a
Blackhawks, excuse me. Blackhawks logo.
Oh, yeah. I see it now.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it does look like the Thundercats logo, though, to be fair.
So, I this is a weird issue. Once again, the whole, it's a discussion about whether or not they should give up their son. Like, that's the whole point of this.
Well, it finally tackles the fact that Barda finally admits how she feels about what he did. Yeah. And they have their spat about it, basically.
Yeah, they discuss the suicide in this. And I think that's...
He's, like, trying to justify giving the baby to Darkseid. And he's like, yeah, we grew up on Apocalypse, and we turned out fine. And she's like, oh, yeah, so when I found you in the bathroom the other day, that
you
was fine.
Yeah.
Or, you know... So I guess that's like a year and a half ago at this point, or 2 years or something.
So I'm still not sure where we are.
Well,
the thing is
what? So when they're hanging up the birthday sign, though,
the birthday was actually blurred out. Everything else was fine, but the word birthday and happy birthday is gone. Like it's not
and
there.
And the name too,
as if it's not real.
Yeah. So I'm just
Jack's blurred out too.
Okay, so...
Yeah, and I'm, like, sitting over here, I'm like, am I going to flip this table when I hit number 12?
I said it from the beginning, I still think we're living in the moment between the moment he slits his wrist and wakes up. Like, I think we're living in this, and this is, like, two years of his life, which would make it out of continuity.
So,
And then I'm sitting over here, and I'm like, Tom King is going to flip this on our head, and no one's going to know what actually happened, or no one's going to see what he's coming up with.
So the big point that I actually got, and... The only reason I asked Tom King about the dark side is at Comic-Con.
Okay.
And what he said to me was, I forget who he said, like an editor or somebody told him that to him, dark side is every negative feeling act, just all negativity.
Anti-life,
yes. It's not just a person, it's this idea more than anything. And so the fact that it ends on Barda and Miracle... basically about to have sex, blurs, and then cuts to Darkseid is.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is supposed to be a happy moment, but it's literally interrupted by all the negativity, like, what does...
Well, and it's the representation of fighting away from your problems. It's like, so you actually have problems, but instead they're just going to go and have sex because they don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, That's very real right there. Like, that's a...
Anyone who's ever been in a relationship can relate to that.
Gosh. I guess we're on to the end now?
Yeah, we're on to Doomsday Clock number 6.
Doomsday Clock, the origins...
I will have to say this straight.
Hold on, let's... It's Doomsday Clock number 6, written by Jeff Johns, art by Gary Frank, and we have the origin story of Marionette and Mime.
This is literally the crazy love story that people are trying to refer to when they talk about Harley Quinn and Joker. You talk about, if this is what you're saying, and you're a crazy-ass person like this, you say, Mime and Marionette. I hear someone say Harley Quinn and Joker, and be like, just go away.
Yeah, this is
a thing. I'm just going to hand them Doomsday number 6 and read this.
They have a very good relationship. It's very, like, even though they individually are homicidal maniacs. They are very good to each other.
Well, they have a codependent relationship.
As I said, this was the most Joker, sad, beautiful, ugly, happily love story I've ever seen.
But it's funny that you mentioned that, because in this, Joker asks them if Harley sent them to kill him because it's close to his birthday. Like, they would never do anything close to that to each other. They would kill anybody who laid a finger on each other or on the other one.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally, that's
what literally happened. While being chased by people, they have sex in the middle of it. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Speaking of having sex in weird times.
Right.
Awkward moments.
They're being chased by, like, all the supervillains, and then they just, like, run into a room to hide, and it has a bed, and bada bing, bada boom.
Was it a bed? Oh, I guess it was.
Yeah. And then we have the comedian just capping villains too.
Dude,
capping heroes.
He blew a leg off.
Heroes and
yeah, because he shoots the infiltrator.
Oh, is that who that was? But then he's also shooting the owls in their masks.
Okay,
and stuff,
that's true. He's killing the court of owls, which is interesting. The court of owls are present.
And then he shoots Mr. Freeze's helmet. He kneecaps the Riddler.
Yeah. He blows his leg off.
So there's
I don't know about kneecapping.
I've been complaining about continuity today, and there's a question in this is still, like, where are we in continuity, or what time period are we in, or what universe are we in? Because they reference, I'm going to say the Sanctuary, which is something that is coming soon. Sanctuary is the place.
Sanctuary? What did I miss?
The villains having a conversation.
Oh, well, I missed that.
So they reference Sanctuary, which is a place that hasn't really been established yet, but it's going to be the centerpiece of the Heroes in Crisis.
Yeah. There's also the fact that most of this takes place in, like, a 9-panel looking thing, too, which is really neat.
Yeah. Well, that's the Watchmen thing.
It's the Watchmen style.
The basic story.
And you see the birth of Marionette too.
Yeah, the birth of Marionette is
the
dark.
First time she uses a piece of string to kill someone.
Yeah.
She got super effective with that. I will give her that one.
I think she has, like, cheese wire, actually, is what it is.
Probably.
I don't think it's just string. I think it, because, she uses it to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this.
First one looks like yawn.
I'm just going to, like, keep this out. For people, Harley Quinn and Joker. No,
yeah.
Well, they're both dysfunctional relationships, but the Harley Quinn Joker relationship is an abusive one.
Yeah,
mime
exactly.
And Marionette OTP.
Well, and then this time I actually read the supplemental material. Go figure. And the supplemental material is actually
I didn't have time to
actually starts to make you believe the superhuman
Superman theory.
The Superman theory, because this character is a direct result of experimentation. So, like, the government.
Typhoon?
Yeah.
And he claims in the thing that he would never do that, so that's why he was obviously the infiltrator. Interesting.
This is a good book. It is on a weird schedule, fact that they take a lot of tangents with this, where, like, all of a sudden we're now just telling an origin story.
I can't believe this is only issue number 6. I can't believe it. It seems like every time I pick it up, I'm like, well, we only have, like, 2 more to go. There's so much content already.
We're halfway.
Yeah, and I'm like, issue number 5, what the fuck?
Where am I?
I'm out of continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's about all we have to talk about.
A lot covered in a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm tired now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we got to get out of here and go look at the gray sky and be sad some more.
Yeah, right.
Well,
I'm going to go have a drink.
Yeah,
it's almost noon.
Yeah, it's almost noon. It's noon o'clock somewhere.
It's fine.
It's Friday.
It's fine.
All right, cool. With that said, let's all say bye then.
Bye.
Bye.